From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and today is Earth Day, an annual day of awareness launched 54 years ago.
This is a CBS News special, Earth Day, a question of survival, with CBS News correspondent Walter Cronkite.
Good evening. A unique day in American history is ending, a day set aside for a nationwide outpouring of mankind seeking its own survival. Earth Day, a day dedicated to enlisting all the citizens of a bountiful country in the common cause of saving life from the deadly byproducts of that bounty, the fouled skies, the filthy waters, the littered earth.
This is Walter Cronkite, interestingly and correctly noting the stakes of environmentalism. It's not about clean air or water because it's prettier. It's not about saving owls or trees for their own sake. It's about saving the planet for the sake of humankind. But even then, in 1970, the environmental movement divided Americans.
By one measurement, Earth Day failed. It did not unite. It did attract that broad cross-section of America its sponsors wanted, not quite. Its demonstrators were predominantly young, predominantly white, predominantly anti-Nixon. Often its protests appeared frivolous, its protesters curiously carefree. Yet the gravity of the message of Earth Day still came through. Act or die.
Act or die. The 54 years between the first Earth Day and this one have been marked by enormous gains, occasional setbacks, and an overriding apathy on the part of many people. I want to hear what you think about the state of our environment today. Call us in the next 15 minutes or so. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. Are we on the right track or the wrong track when it comes to addressing problems like climate change? Would you consider yourself an environmental optimist? Or do you fear we may be too late to avoid difficult times ahead? 800-222-9455 is the number. Joining me now to take stock on Earth Day 2024 are two of Illinois' leading environmental advocates. Jen Walling is Executive Director of the Illinois Environmental Council, and Jack Darin is Director of the Illinois Chapter of the Sierra Club. Welcome to you both, and I want to begin with a brief level setting, and Jen, I'll start with you. What is the state of the state with regard to Illinois' environment?
What a broad question, and good morning, happy Earth Day. But I want to answer that with something that happened last week. Last week in the Illinois General Assembly, the Illinois House advanced for the first time its House Bill 4895 mandates on climate change education for K through 12 students. There already are mandates, learning standards for climate change, but it's the first time it's been put into statute. The bill got 70 votes, which is very close to a supermajority. That is the most votes I've seen on a climate change bill in the entire time that I have been working on this. And to think that in 2017, we had bills passing that were anti-climate change by a number of lawmakers that didn't understand the science. I am really hopeful of the state of the environmental movement and of climate action because of the progress that I see on these votes. But of course, we need to do more and we need to do it quickly. But because of things like this, I'm positive.
Jack Darin, what about you? What is the state of Illinois with regard to our environment?
Good morning. Happy Earth Day. Thanks for having me. I'd agree with a lot of what Jen said. And you know, one of the questions you asked at the top, Brian, was, are we going in the wrong direction or are we optimistic about the progress we've made? It's kind of both. I think we are going in the right direction. We're on the right track. But we're not going fast enough. And I think our consensus, which, you know, Jen noted an example of that last week, is growing. We're seeing more and more sectors of our society and our economy embrace the solutions to climate change. But every year we're getting more and more evidence from science that the problem is picking up pace, in some cases faster than the solutions are gathering steam.
Jen, that CBS report we listened to, it goes into some of the environmental particulars that were plaguing America on the first Earth Day back in 1970. You heard Cronkite refer to the fouled skies, the filthy water, and the littered earth. You know, I sometimes think in discussions of environmentalism, we overlook some of our past successes. And I know you're an advocate, not a historian, but can you paint a picture of what America was like in 1970 and what we did about it?
Sure. I mean, when we are looking at the first Earth Day, you were looking at the Cuyahoga River being on fire in Ohio. You were looking at very serious air pollution, smog and ozone, just a number of things where pollution was impacting everybody every day. And I think we still have pollution, but I think that we also have progress in that we have shown that there are items that we can address. I mean, the ozone hole that's in, you know, the southern pole has you know, been diminishing in size, for example. And, you know, we don't have, we have some progress in terms of waters being cleaner. You're looking at the Chicago River, where, for example, years ago, there were only 7 species of fish living in that river, and now there's 3 times that amount, and they're looking at whether there's going to be an open water swimming event. So there is progress, but we still need to keep going. And especially when I look at that progress, it's not been even. We're looking at environmental justice communities that are still seeing some of the same conditions that they were in 1970s, places where there are Black, brown, low-income communities still facing almost the same levels of pollution or worse than when Earth Day first started.
Jack Darren, what about you? What do you think has been the greatest achievement of the environmental movement of the past 54 years?
Well, I think we have definitely seen a lot of the progress in reductions in water and air pollution. One that comes to mind for air is 50 years ago, we had, you know, we're not worried about lead in drinking water right now. We're working to get the lead out of our pipes. We used to have an airborne lead problem. We were breathing in lead every time we took a breath. That problem's largely been eliminated thanks to the Clean Air Act. That's just one example, but a huge area of growth in the economy has been due to environmental protections. The amount of jobs that have been created, the whole new business opportunities, is a very significant part of our economy, and it's only growing as we embrace climate solutions like renewable energy. We're seeing this as one of the fastest growing sectors of our economy, and a key challenge in that is to make sure that those economic benefits come to those who've been so disproportionately harmed, as Jen said, in our Black and brown communities and our environmental justice areas. We're really trying to center those folks, those communities, for the jobs and the solutions and also the wealth building opportunities in the new companies that are being created.
So I'm looking at, in my notes here, I did have a question about, you know, what are the biggest environmental challenges we're facing today? I think it's obvious climate change is going to be probably both of your answer. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But so I guess maybe the better way to ask that, as I'm thinking through it in real time, is, Jack, what is the biggest sort of impediment to doing what you think we ought to be doing and what your allies think we ought to be doing in terms of addressing climate change or global warming?
I think assembling the consensus and the majority in a time when our country and our society is very divided around politics and most aspects of public policy. I mean, this is a situation, an issue where we, all of us, our fate is tied to whether or not we make progress or not, but all of us are not pushing in the same direction. So I think trying to do something that requires everyone and is for the good of everyone, when no one is united around anything, is really a challenge that we try to solve every day.
Jen Welling, what do you think about that? I remember we had a similar conversation 4 years ago today with both you and Jack on the program talking about Earth Day amid the pandemic. And at that point, I think we were still sort of optimistic about the coming together we had seen in the early month or two of the pandemic and the stay-at-home orders. And could this be a template for, you know, how we address climate change in the future. I was looking over my notes from that conversation. That question certainly hits differently today, as people say. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's definitely a sharp divide. And when people are looking at addressing climate change, you know, I saw a lot on the House floor last week of the science is always changing, or, you know, can we afford to do this with respect to some of the climate change items? And, you know, all from a number of Republicans that wanted to get their talking points out. But I think that, you know, a lot of those folks and a lot of folks that publicly are against climate change, when you're having one-on-one conversations, they understand the importance. People are fundamentally coming from the same values, and we need to make sure that we're connecting on those items to move in the same direction. It doesn't matter if you don't understand climate change, if you're taking measures that are going to protect the climate, like soil conservation or, you know, working to conserve outdoor areas. Of course, I want every state lawmaker to vote on the proposals that I'm putting forward. But I think the more that we can connect on similar values, the better off we're going to be in the long run. But ultimately, we need to get this done, and it may take replacement of some folks that don't share environmental values or don't share the expediency of how we address environmental issues.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about Earth Day 2024 and what progress we've made, what remains to be done. I want to know what you think. Do you think we are on the right track or the wrong track when it comes to addressing problems like global warming? You can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. My guests for this conversation are Jen Walling, Director of the Illinois Environmental Council, and Jack Darren, Director of the Sierra Club's Illinois chapter. Again, 800-222-9455. So we've talked before on this program multiple times about Gen 2 laws that your organization helped pass in the last decade. They're known by the shorthand FEJA and CEJA, Future Energy Jobs Act, Clean Energy Jobs Act. How is Illinois doing making progress toward its goal of moving to 100% renewable energy by the year 2050?
I think that we're doing great. I think there have been some articles about benchmarks that haven't been hit, but there are way more articles about benchmarks that are being hit. We're seeing a huge growth in solar. We're seeing some wind development, and we will see more now that there are new laws in place with respect to wind development. A lot of the workforce programs started later than we would like them to have started, but I think everybody saw in 2022 some real challenges with hiring, whether it's, you know, the Illinois Environmental Council or the state government. And I'm really excited about the progress that we're creating. We can see this stuff in the ground. We have to do more. We got to go faster. But I am thrilled, even just anecdotally, what I see. I mean, I travel all over the state for work, and I will be in far southeastern Illinois and see solar panels on a number of homes, or western Illinois. And that is just so exciting, the progress that we're seeing on the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act.
And Jack, what do you think about that? In terms of rating the progress of Illinois' goal of becoming, what would you say, carbon neutral, I guess, or 100% renewable energy by the year 2050?
That's right. I think the really big thing here is that for the first time ever, we've set long-term energy goals for the state, and really bold ones, like eliminating all fossil fuels from our power supply. I mean, Illinois just doesn't do these kinds of things very often, to set goals that are decades into the future. For most of our history, when it comes to our electricity, basically our utility corporations have decided what our energy sources are going to be, and the rest of us have paid the bills. So it is definitely taking some time to completely reorient our electric supply in the public interest. CEJA was passed less than 3 years ago. We've had a lot of growth, a lot of adjustment in the way our utilities are working. Our state agencies are orienting towards this goal. And we're going to see the pace pick up really quickly. As Jen said, we're already creating lots of jobs in renewables and energy efficiency across the state. And I am very confident that we're going to get to our ultimate goal of 100% clean energy by 2050. And the pace is going to pick up in the years to come.
All right. And, you know, just on the subject of energy, and I should say we need to take a break in about a minute here. But, Jen, there has been a renewed interest in nuclear power as a way to meet carbon reduction goals, research into potentially safer systems, smaller scale reactors. Jen, what do you think of that? Is nuclear energy green energy?
I think nuclear energy is not waste-free energy. It could be carbon-free, but it does have environmental impacts. And I think that when we look at the costs of these small modular nuclear reactors or building other new reactors, the costs are going to be much higher than wind and solar energy coupled with storage. And so I think that's going to make those reactors prohibitive.
All right. We are going to take a break. We have a caller on the line who wants to talk about forests and logging in Illinois. I'm going to ask you to hold until we come back. We will get to that call in about two minutes here. This is the 21st show. We're speaking with Jennifer Walling, Director of the Illinois Environmental Council, and Jack Darin, Chapter Director at Sierra Club Illinois, about the Earth Day. Today is Earth Day. It's Earth Day 2024. If you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. More to come after a break. This is the 21st show. Stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. It is Earth Day, and we are taking stock of the state of Illinois' environment and environmental activism today with Jen Walling, Director of the Illinois Environmental Council, and Jack Darin, who is head of the Sierra Club's Illinois chapter. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. 800-222-9455. And we have on line four now, Sam calling from Southern Illinois. Sam, thank you for calling in.
Thanks for taking the call, Brian. I hope all is well with you, Jen, and Jack in the 21st show.
Thank you. We're doing well. Hope all is well with you. I understand you want to talk about logging, commercial logging.
Well, on public land, yes. All is not well in our planet, as you know, and for me, at least, it's not a happy Earth Day. Here in Southern Illinois, I continue to witness large-scale commercial logging on both state and federal lands, such as Trail of Tears State Forest and the Shawnee National Forest. And despite pronouncements from our politicians and big green environmentalists, mature trees are being logged at an alarming rate down here, resulting in soil being eroded, water being sedimented, and species are being extirpated here. There's no way we'll ever restore old-growth forest, which so many of us want to see happen, if we continue to eliminate mature trees. It's large trees that sequester more carbon than small ones. So I understand that politicians are influenced by the timber industry and related industries, but why would big green environmental groups continue to support this kind of commercial logging resulting in this devastation on public land?
All right, Sam, thank you for the question. And Jack Darin, head of the Illinois Sierra Club, I'm going to ask you to respond to that.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Appreciate you calling in with that question today. We're doing everything we can to eliminate commercial logging on public lands. I'd like to hear more about what you're talking about. Sierra Club won the case that banned commercial logging from our state parks, and we have one national forest in Illinois in your neck of the woods, the Shawnee National Forest. We've worked to get commercial logging off the Shawnee. We're working to expand protections for some of the most pristine areas of the Shawnee Forest. But because you're exactly right, I mean, forests are a critical part of the climate solution. Natural habitat restoration of all kinds really is important for not only the extinction crisis, but for climate change. So I'd like to learn more about about the logging that you're talking about and seeing what's going on, because it doesn't sound right to me.
All right, Sam, thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it. Jen Walling, I want to come back to, unless you have something you wanted to mention on logging or forestation.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, Jack's the expert on that.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Protect the shiny for decades.
Well, let me ask you, let me pivot then and talk about something that I think we touched on this a little earlier in my question about whether people are optimistic or not. We heard Sam there say that this is a sad Earth Day for him. But, you know, it is one, climate change in particular, global warming is one of those issues that we hear driving people to despair, right? To the extent that people think about it at all. And yet we're seeing a number of new books arguing against this kind of doomer approach. One of them is called Clean Economy Now by Bob Keefe. In fact, we're going to be talking with him later in the program. There's also Not the End of the World by Hannah Ritchie. The subtitle of that is How We Can Be the First Generation to Build a Sustainable Planet. Jen, are you generally an optimistic or pessimistic person when it comes to the environment?
That's a great question. I'm such a pessimistic person in general, but when it comes to the work we're doing, I have to be an optimist to keep going. And I do see a tremendous amount of progress. And I think that when we look at policy solutions, especially on today like Earth Day, you know, people do all sorts of individual actions that are really great for the planet, whether it's reducing the amount of plastic or water that they're using. But I really like when people get involved in those individual actions, because they get frustrated and they see how difficult those items can be, which leads them to activism and advocacy and hopefully working more. So we have to provide that pathway for folks to understand, you know, why is doing the sustainable option so hard, or the harder option? Why isn't the default option the one that is more sustainable and cleaner? You know, it might be a cheaper option, but we're not thinking about the way that those cheaper options, those less expensive options, are more costly to our health, to our planet. So are we paying with dollars? Are we paying with, you know, literally people's bodies? So I think those are things that I'm seeing real progress in folks wanting to get more involved in understanding how difficult this is and how we need to work together on giving everybody easier options to be more sustainable.
We had, we had another caller who was driving, didn't want to go on the air for that. And it's Dan from Springfield. And Dan, I'll say thank you for that. Appreciate that thoughtfulness of not talking and driving at the same time. But his point was basically that there is a paradigm shift has not yet happened in the energy sector. And he argues that the current political climate is going to continue to prevent that from happening. Jack, what do you think about that? Have we had a paradigm shift in energy? Are we close to a tipping point if we haven't?
We have in Illinois. I mean, thanks to the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act and this 100% clean energy goal the state has, it really has changed. I mean, the companies that Jen and I have to work with, they're talking differently. People may not have supported this goal when it's passed, but they recognize it's there and they're figuring out different ways to get there. So I do think in Illinois we've had a paradigm shift. And I think that as that becomes more and more real, as we start to see getting closer to those benchmarks, you know, Illinois is here in the heartland. We're once a major coal state. So I think we've got a real ability to export the paradigm shifts and the ideas and the successes to our neighbors and across the country. So I do think the shift is happening.
I think we're coming to the end of our time together here. So, Jack, let me ask you that question about, are you an optimist or a pessimist when it comes to the environment?
I have to be an optimist.
You're not committed then if you have to be an optimist.
Oh, we're talking about some heavy stuff here. It's a big challenges that literally have never been faced by people. But we also have incredible wealth as a whole society and knowledge and innovation capacity. And so we've mounted incredible challenges before and been successful. So also, I really don't like the alternative of failing. So on this Earth Day and on most days, I'm pretty optimistic about what we can do. And, you know, I think Earth Day has always been about, for me, what can the individual person do to make a difference, especially in challenges that are so global in nature. And so I think today's the day we have to celebrate our potential to make a difference.
And what do you say to the person who is sort of less optimistic than you are, who feels a sense of dread or doom about what the future holds?
Take urgency from that. And if you can't or don't want to do it for yourself, think about future generations and what you're doing to make the world better for them.
Jack Darren is chapter director of the Sierra Club Illinois, Jen Walling, executive director at the Illinois Environmental Council. Happy Earth Day to both of you. Thanks for being with us today on the 21st show.
Happy Earth Day.
Thank you.